Hello, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio and to The Lois Effect. My name is Elisa.
My name is Liz. They kept kicking me off BTR. How dare they? How dare they? Who do they think they are? Who are they? Anyway, how are you, love?
I'm well. I'm well. How are you?
Good. A whirlwind of activity, but good. I can't believe I'm going to see you in like 2 weeks.
I know.
That's so weird. It hasn't sunk in because so much is happening here with the premiere that I'm like, oh, like my, you're going to love him. One of my producing partners is going to be there in Atlanta. Our director isn't, who's one of my best friends, but my other producing partner, you're going to love him. So he's great. And he's also in the film, and he's amazing. But, yeah, just that my worlds are going to come together in a way in Atlanta, which is so exciting. And, so hopefully there's, like, after the screening, I think there's going to be, like, a little something that my friend who also was a producer in the film, Crystal, and her wife Ariella, who Anna knows because Anna opens the movie, which is the weirdest thing ever. I think there's going to be a little something after the screening. So if you're I know you guys are going to the screening.
Well, I have to work.
You can?
I have
a feeling.
I felt that.
Oh no!
It's been on the books for a while. So, and I was looking at like,
and it's a weird time.
Yeah,
the time is
like,
weird. It's early. The screen's
like
at 4
the
o'clock.
Evening.
How dare these Atlanta people?
I could make it, but no. I'm still going to be. I'll still be at a winery at that point.
No,
and I was really struggling
that.
With it. I was really struggling with it.
Of course.
I'm like, well, but I'm like, no, I need
Damn
to work. I need to
of
work.
Of course. No, there's. I wouldn't want you not to work. That would no. You have to. You listen for the shoot that we're planning in October. I'm not going to be able to be on set the whole time, or most of the time because I have to be here to make sure everything is okay at home, and I have to. You know, the one day that I'm always scheduled to work is Monday, and it's like she got to keep these young men alive. So hello. I get that, but I had a feeling. So we just have to let you know where we are afterwards.
Yes.
And then maybe you can link up or something.
Yes.
But
yes. Yeah. Let me know.
We'll let you know. But what's kind of cool, and I don't, we haven't gotten the information, but I think with the festival in Atlanta, there's maybe going to be like a Q&A type of thing with the team. So I can't wait to make the local connection with Anna.
Yeah.
And she's right here. Because it's a queer Atlanta. Hello, we got one from column A and one from column A. So I thought that just makes it that much more interesting that this New York movie has a local queer person in it. And it's this is a very respected film festival. Remember I sent you the article that mentions it? And, yeah, and Billy Porter's on the picture. Hello.
Love Billy Porter.
So, love her. I mean, love him. yeah. So I had a feeling, though. I don't know why. I only, co-host this podcast with this person who's always working at the possible times, but whatever.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, okay. No, that's okay. No. That's totally, totally fine. Allegedly, it's going to screen. I can't go, but it's going to screen. Everything's happening this month. Seattle, Atlanta, as you know, New York, Palm Springs, and now Austin.
Ooh.
So Austin's a new one. I know. I'd love to go, but the dates are just too, all of this stuff is happening, so we can't go to all the things.
Right.
But hopefully there'll be a cool destination for screening. There is talk of a very limited theatrical release in New York and in L.A. So there'll be opportunities. Or one of these days, I will eventually have permission to share it. And, you know, you could stream it. But or if Netflix or somebody likes that, you know, that, which is very possible, picks it up. But I kind of knew that you couldn't go on that Saturday. I kind of thought that just because of your typical work schedule, of course.
Yeah. If it were like a Friday, I could do it. It would be nuts on a Friday.
Oh,
but,
no, understood.
Yeah.
But but we'll hang out. We'll hang out before, which is fine.
We'll figure out ways. And I've got, and I just found out within the last few days that three of my old friends from college are coming into town that same weekend. One lives in like Boston. I actually don't know where the other two live. I lost track of them.
That's crazy. You're going to be
but they're
busy.
They're all coming in town. I think it's because they all turned 50 this year.
Right.
So I'm like, okay. And they're all part of my fraternity. So we're all trying to get together. I want you all to meet. Well, I want you to meet Manj for sure.
I gotta meet that. I need to meet that sommelier. Seriously, I've been hearing about this one for what? As long as I know you.
Right. So if
whether
you're able to, he's able to come meet up with us. You know, the first that you get in, or any, because he's out of town. I think on Saturday as well, because he's got wine stuff to do too. But we're also looking at Friday to kind of meet up with the old gang, and they're like, "Well, bring your friends too, because you know that you're more than welcome." I said, "Okay, I have no idea all the stuff planned, but if we can all make
no
it,
idea with festival
yeah.
stuff, have no,
yeah.
I have no idea of any of these things." But you know what? It's all about alignment and intention,
right.
and just being spontaneous, and you
right.
know. I'm down for anything. I'm also, you know, Jeremiah is going to be with me, but Jeremiah,
right.
I can take Jeremiah any place. You know,
oh, yeah, I know he'd be fine. I mean, it would be just for
yeah.
dinner, you know, dinner and drinks.
Oh, that'd
so,
be cute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that would be the vibe.
We'll figure that out.
Right.
You know, it's so cute. We're doing this show, but it's just this is just like a real phone call.
Although I will say,
but it's great though. Yes.
Raven in the chat was asking for a card for her husband Bruce. It's his birthday on the 16th, and he'll be 77.
Okay, happy birthday,
so she
Bruce.
Was, yeah. So she was
oh,
asking
lucky 77.
For a.
Mm-hmm, we'll
she was
do
asking
that.
For a message at some point. So, on the show today.
Yes,
so.
Absolutely.
Trying to think what else.
Sounds great. That sounds well. I'll say this, and then we can do the cards.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's very interesting because we've gained so much by being in observation mode, witness consciousness, whatever you want to call it. It's really lovely when you can feel. It's a paradox. You can feel how tangible a subtle shift is because I feel the most profound shift arrives subtly. That makes sense, but they're tangible and they grow in how tangible they are. And when things happen in a different way, where you're not in a situation that kind of rings familiar, and you're sort of like going through the same conflict, the same lessons, what have you. And it's almost like this, you know, this unending cycle. And then you really do a pattern interrupt and you do things differently. And you're getting out of that addictive mindset and you're just doing things differently, really being in what you don't know. And the unknowingness of just going within, it's really amazing how your experiences change. You don't have to go through, you sort of bypass sort of the experience and the struggles with that. And things end up happening differently, or you're not re-experiencing things because you finally learned the lesson.
Mm.
And I have a feeling that I'm just on the precipice of that consciousness where I'm noticing in a few instances in my life that there's quicker resolution and very little entanglement. So the two that immediately come to mind, well, one with my son, who's a super senior because he's 18 and still in high school, where I, as I was getting to leave the house yesterday, he comes home from school. And, of course, as a mom, we know when things are whatever. And he just seemed a little off, not upset, not punching walls, not losing his mind, not going off, not in a psychotic state. And I say this because I have gone through those things with him.
Mm-hmm.
I could see he was really being very respectful of me and keeping to himself. But, of course, I felt like something was a little off. So I say, like, are you okay? He goes, I'm angry. But he said it very calmly. I said, okay, I'm going to give you your space. I have to leave. But I'm here. You need me, you text me. You need anything? I love you so much. You know, whatever, whatever. Okay, so I do my thing. 5 minutes later, I get a call from his advisor. I'm like, here. And so it's really funny because we were in the weeds all last year. And I'm like, hello, the school you just started. Excuse me, why are you calling me? And we're joking. So apparently there was some situation outside of school. He was upset. She thinks it has to do with one of his peers, whatever, whatever. And I'm like, okay. But she just called to say, so when you see him, just, you know, give him an ear. I said, oh, yeah, that already happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I was really happy to say to her, he has turned into such a great son. He is learning to self-regulate his emotions. I was just only saying good, good things. I wasn't denying. A lot of parents deny. Like, oh, it's the other kid. That could happen. I don't do that. I'm the opposite. I'm like, what do you do now? You know, I'm that parent. And I said, okay, thank you. Thank you for letting me know. And then she's like, I have to go into a meeting. I'll call you back. I never heard back from her, which was fine. And as I was leaving my apartment, she was like talking on the phone with somebody else. So I think there was just some dramatic incident. It wasn't violent. Thank God. Police weren't involved. Thank God. I say this because we have lived through those things, violence and police and Black Lives Matter. And my son has to quote his rights to the police office. Like I got through all of this, because my son has. And I just knew in my soul, this isn't anything that's going to spill into seriousness or consequences or dangerous context. He's 18. He's an adult. I can't really protect him the way I used to.
Mm.
I really can't. I don't have that. He's not a minor anymore. I can't use
right.
him. But I knew in my soul and my core that all was well. And so far, all is well. So that's a change because I didn't go into panic mode. I didn't go into because I recognize how much he's changed. I'm so glad I'm taking him to Atlanta because he has been showing up for me as such a good son in his behavior, helping me. Like, I dropped a carton of oat milk yesterday, and I cursed like a truck driver because some of it spilled, not all of it, some of it spilled, but I did. And it's ironic. Oat milk apparently has I switched from almond milk to oat milk, apparently has properties to, like, soothe your central nervous system. So, of course, I'm like, ah! I love oat. Yeah, I love it. So I'll drink like I'll drink a little bit of it every day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very soothing. It's calming. I read great things about it. And so he comes in to check on me, and I'm grabbing like 100 paper towels. And he's like, "I got this. I got this, Mom." He goes, "You're working. You did." That's what I'm saying. He's being such a good son.
Mm.
And am I denying that there was an incident and he popped off yesterday outside in front of the Starbucks downtown? No, because that's what I was told, and I believe him. Was he able to handle it? It seems that way. Apparently, it seems that way, you know. And I like to, you know things on a need-to-know basis. Right now, that's all I need to know. So that's my one example of when you're doing the work and you change on the inside. The outside changes.
Yeah.
And then with this guy who I never met up with, and I just was very in my truth about my response to when he gave me a song and dance, which I believe him, and I believe him, and I believe that the apology was heartfelt. But I didn't respond to the text and the apology because I wasn't going to fawn over this person and say it's okay. And fawn, F-A-W-N, is a trauma response. I've done it with a lot of people and a lot of men. I'm not doing it anymore. And I never responded to his apology. And that will be a week tomorrow. And I'm spared having to have gone through trying to present this perfect picture of, like, oh, I'm so chill and I understand so much, and did it, trying to, like, you know, do this sales pitch, you know, to be a viable candidate to date. Why? Doesn't mean he's not going to get blocked. I have no reason to block him. But I'm very glad that I didn't jump through hoops because I got this apology.
Mm.
My response was no response, because you're going to have to present something that is an upgrade from that last experience for me to be open.
Right.
So there's no timeline. But the difference is I would have on the phone, I would have said, no, I get it. I understand. No, that's fine. No, let me know when you want to get together again. Okay, good luck tonight. Bye. Have a great night. Hell no. Or, which I didn't do, I really expressed myself honestly. Probably was one of the first genuine expressions of that without meeting somebody, like, early on. Like, just like, oh, no, this is when we are not playing. Because the hiatus is now turning to celibacy, as I said on the last show, which is great. I'm embracing that. No timeline. I'm just embracing it because I'm seeing where it's leading me to this clarity in my consciousness. I would have in the past would have responded immediately to the apology text. No worries. I understand completely. Let me know when you like to reschedule. No. And the strength that I'm feeling from that, and the clarity and the satisfaction that I have in my life, which is a wonderful adventure. So it's really interesting how the shifts are subtle, but so profound.
Mm.
Taking things in stride. So it's very interesting.
Mm.
So shall we pull a card for Marguerite? Now remember, this is Bruce is in the energy in the context of the message, but the message is whatever needs to be expressed, because, you know, I don't pick the message, if you know what I mean. Marguerite, you're going to pick the message. Okay.
Right.
I'm ready when you guys are.
All right. Here we go.
Okay. This actually came up blank.
All right. Well.
There's just a blank space. We got to do it again, Marguerite.
Here we go.
That's funny. Okay. Here we go. Take two. Oh, wait. Stop the music. Stop the music. My finger went off the iPad, and then it just, I know Mercury's still sort of in retrograde. Here we go again. Okay, we got to take three. This is funny. And I don't want to lie. I don't want to pretend, you know what I mean? Because that's
right.
Stupid. I don't want to do that.
Right.
Okay, take three. This
take
is
three,
funny.
Marguerite.
Bruce doesn't want a message. This Bruce doesn't want it.
Do it again.
Okay. Now this is crazy. Okay, here we go. Okay, so the number associated with this message is 223. Mm-hmm. Allow a space for recovery. Hello. Allow a space for recovery, albeit brief, as you recognize when a major primordial internal release has expressed to you. This is rebirth. Really interesting. It's kind of what I was just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting, this is rebirth. You know, the grief, the loss of children. It's really interesting. You know, and grief is expressed so differently. And, of course, he's grieving. Mm-hmm. So I'll read it again. Allow a space for recovery, albeit brief, as you recognize when a major primordial internal release through you. This is rebirth. 223. That's a very profound message.
Yeah.
And it's really, really what I was talking about, where the most profound shifts are the most subtle. But you end up doing things differently than how you did them before, which is why I made the example with my son, and I made the example with dating, because I'm resting completely differently.
Mm.
But that's what this message is talking about.
And Raven has put in there, she added it up, she knows it's a 7, the number sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about the 7, there is that sense of needing time for yourself, and though it's not a 7 personal year, that energy is still there. It's a 5 personal year for him, if I'm adding my numbers correctly, which it is. It's a 5 year of change for him. But the need to take time, because of all the changes, the need to take time for himself is also very important. Whether that's, it usually includes the combination of the physical, yes, I need to take time for myself, and also the mental, emotional, spiritual. I'm kind of doing this cocooning move, like just to get his sense of self. And I think everybody needs to do that at points, regardless of personal year, where that seven energy of, let me go inward for a bit and just take a moment to check in with myself and see from that point of view what's happening, not only outside of me, but also, but especially with what's happening within me. She wrote here, great message. We were talking about Josh yesterday and how we took him to the county fair last year. We just couldn't bring ourselves to go this year. Yeah.
Of course not. Of course not.
Yeah. So taking
maybe next
taking
year. Yeah.
These changes in this time, it is a rebirth because you are having to do things differently now. It's like doing things, experiencing them differently for the first time. Probably ever, or at least in a very, very long time. Part of that going inward in that seven energy is to allow for the changes that have already occurred to kind of catch up with you, or for you to catch up with the changes. And that way, things that are very current and the things that you look at now, it's seen in very current tense situation where because of how much you've grown, all the wisdom you've already taken in, the different experiences that have shaped you, will now have you look at a situation very differently than it would have in the past. And so that's also seeing through new eyes. But it's not really brand new. It's like those fine-tuned adjustments can be made when you take the moments that you need to do that. And so you don't see things exactly the same way you're not supposed to. And it allows you to then, as you reflect, to make some different decisions, whether they're big decisions that you say out loud to people or you just decide within yourself, I'm going to start doing these things instead, to support me for who I am now. Let's see. She writes, as the weather changes and gets cooler, we're inside more. It is something that is difficult to deal with. Seeing everyone in the house and how we would see Josh here at home. Oh yeah. Just what Elisa is talking about. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, she said the holidays will not be the same. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely can relate where early on, my loss was many, 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 many years ago, and I didn't lose an adult child. Nonetheless, had a horrendous loss. And I remember, unfortunately, this is how it's just incomprehensible that this is the second adult child loss. It's just there's no words. But I just remember, right after, Labor Day, I'm like, well, here we go. So you kind of have to grit your teeth between, Halloween and New Year's, all the holidays, and then Easter, it's like resurrection. It's like all those, it just pulls at you. And, this is now added, incomprehensibly added to what they've been going through with Courtney, 12 years ago, I don't remember, I don't know how long it is, 11 years ago. Now, Josh, it's almost like you wake up and you're like, how do I even have the capacity? Like, you do. Because here you are.
Yeah.
So, I sort of get it.
Yeah. And she writes, Halloween was Josh's favorite holiday. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. I figured, yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, so that,
and
that,
for the,
that seven energy, I think gives that grace of let's take a few moments, more than just a moment, but a few moments to just get yourself centered and just look and feel, not just look, but feel how the changes are happening and what it means now, what it means, and also ways to honor, as we think about this all the time, ways to honor the people who have gone before us. Most of the time we think of them as our ancestors, but energetically it's, you know, anybody that we're still connected with, that we still, you know, keep in remembrance. You know, ways to honor them that would remember and encapsulate that joy and the love that you felt. So, and the way I put that spin on that is so that, you know, while it may help you through your grief, it's also the remembering of like this purity of who they were and who they are,
mm-hmm.
And how that can be, mm-hmm. How that can be carried on. Like, you know, I understand bittersweet, and yet I feel like with the intention coming from the heart, of connection and, I want to say fond remembrance, but but really that energetic connection, not of like, they're still here, of saying, yeah, I, you know, we're still here. We're still alive. We're here to honor the memory and the things that they brought to our lives, you know, the richness and just ways to express that, that can, you know, it can be a tradition. I know she has a tradition with Courtney and you know, releasing of you know, balloons, and so maybe there's something else that that can be thought up, and again, not just for that person that's passed. It's really for you. It's for you and the people who are here to come together, to gather for a bit, and just be in a hopefully a very loving space of support, but also hopefully a bit of laughter, a bit of joy, and remembering in those sorts of cases. So yeah, she said, "I know we will get through together." Exactly.
Of course.
So I want to, as you put it, it is a very profound message to come up.
Yeah.
So
yeah. So. Happy birthday, Bruce. And, hold on to each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Gain strength from that. Oh, my champ, my Rocky Balboa. Hang in there.
Yeah. Well, it made me think about, you know, like my parents are still here. I'm still planning, you know,
mm-hmm.
the trips and whatnot. I'm looking at flights. I, you know, haven't nailed those down yet, but I'm getting help from within my industry. It's part of what we're supposed to be doing. Yeah, get some help.
Yeah, go ahead. So, that's right. Go ahead, travel agent. That's right.
So I put that out there, and then it freed me up because I'm like, okay, I compose my email, send out, you know, the request. To try to find, I mean, I can do the price, I can do the things, but then it's like, if you can negotiate lower pricing for these situations, yeah, let me know what those are.
And
it freed me up to kind of look at some other aspects of our trip. But even just this conversation where, you know, not having someone there anymore, a family member, and then knowing that you had this history. Mm-hmm. So for me, I remember a few years ago when we were actually home for Thanksgiving, and I'm like, wow, this is the first time in a few years that we haven't been on a ship, you know, celebrating Thanksgiving as best we could.
Yes, that's right.
in international waters, because like they don't really do the big turkey thing. They had like some, you know, turkey slices and, you know, no pumpkin pie. And I'm like, it's not the same.
Nope.
But so I was thinking about that, about, you know, just now just thinking, okay, there'll be a time when I won't have my parents to, you know, to do like the holiday stuff with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like we do every holiday together necessarily. We do try. I mean, we usually do try. But, you know, it's like, okay, I think I have a few friends who might be in the same situation where, you know, they're not married. They don't have any, you know, any kids. They're not really particularly close to their family, or they live very far away. And
sure.
And it's like, okay, it's not like there's been a shortage. I have a huge family and plenty of friends and that sort of thing. But it's like, well, what would I be doing, you know, as a way to say, maybe honor those traditions that we have done, you know? So it is interesting to think about that. It's a little heavy to think about it, but it is something that it's going to happen, you know? What was it? I was with my aunt. We were getting adjustments at a chiropractor, and I had just received some information from my aunt's healthcare provider about, you know, she has a follow-up appointment next week for some stuff. She did a lot of tests and, you know, MRIs and X-rays and stuff like that. So they found some stuff, like having to do with her spine, which is partly why she's so, it's like even more painful for her to kind of do what she needs to do. And so her chiropractor was like, she's like, well, keep me posted on some of those things, you know, if that's okay. Cause she's obviously also the one working with her, you know, just for everyday type of adjustments. And so my aunt's like, does it mean I'm going to die? And the chiropractor, she's amazing. She's so fun. She's like, well, everyone's going to die. She's like, you know, she's like, but it's not going to be because of that. Like that's, you know, that's not going to be the reason, you know, like right away.
You know, it makes me think of the last show on Tuesday's show. We got a very, I forget her name, but the woman from Italy. And she's like, is something going to happen to me?
Right.
I'm like, yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is something going to happen to me? Am I going to go to Italy? She's so cute. I don't know how she found us.
I don't know.
And if you're listening, it's a compliment. If you're listening, it's a compliment.
Aww.
Like the Christopher Columbus Society, like, you know, send me mean emails. But it's so funny. Is something going to happen to me? Something's happened to you right now, honey. Hello? Talk to us. Yeah. Something's always happening. So funny. Oh my God. It's so sweet.
Yeah.
We stay in love anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, I know that with my aunt, you know, that the emergency room scare definitely sobered her up a bit. Like, you know, we gotta pay attention. And, you know, she generally does have a good quality of life. I think she's learning those little things that she can do, just like what, you know, Anna's doing some changes to improve how she's feeling, and it's showing up, like the results are showing up where it's, there have been improvements,
nice.
A lot of improvements.
Good.
So yeah, there are things that we are now able to look at and make those choices and say, well, I think I really want to do this. I really want to be able to, you know, whatever, do X, Y, Z. And again, not that it's going to happen overnight, and pretty much no one, except maybe my aunt, would be asking for a pill to remedy the situation right away. But it's been an interesting time to see where when stuff happens, we've been able to get the support we need, and, you know, by essentially asking some different questions than what we would have done, like on autopilot, just, you know, what could I take? You know, so it's so different.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But
Everything okay?
Oh yeah, I was just taking a drink of water. Sorry.
Okay. No, it's okay.
I think you're right, the things that you were just talking about with making some changes from within after going through a lot of stuff and deciding I need to respond differently.
The same thing keeps happening over and over, and so I knew I had to switch things up, because my track record was like, for the whole dating thing, I was like, okay, where's the next one? It's not because I'm a slut, because she is not, she's a lady, but it's almost just to running away from myself, and that feeling, I had to just reconfigure the idea of who I am to attract, because there's something broken or missing in me. Mm. So I had to get into that dangerous situation. It will be 6 months in October, to really go within and not run to the next distraction. That's addictive behavior. And to really have that, pattern interrupt, and to now being on hiatus. I'm like on the border between hiatus and celibacy. I'm on the border. I have to go to the border patrol and show them my documents and see what's going to happen. But I'm really on the border right now. But what's great is that in doing that work, and it really is addiction. When it's been a pattern that you've been sort of doing your whole life, and you understand where you could trace it back.
Mm.
Then you can have compassion for yourself, which is a new concept.
Right.
That's so when you swap out the critical mind or the over-analytical mind with compassion to embrace the grace of the wisdom and to see, oh my goodness, everything has led me to this place of contemplation and inner solitude. It's amazing how everything you really need is all inside. And then we just see how it plays out in the external world. I would have never gotten to this point if I didn't keep going through this merry-go-round and end up in I was in multiple explosive situations.
Mm.
One minefield after another. And I had to experience something so extreme and so potentially dangerous to get to this place and to deal with those biochemical addictive feelings, to work through them and to find my own internal methadone clinic to work through that. So, yeah. And so you shift from critical thinking to compassion, self-compassion.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're so great to be compassionate to other people, which is beautiful. That's a must. But for many of us, exemplified by the two hosts of this show, we need to have compassion for ourselves. And we don't know. That's like uncharted territory. We're just discovering what that's like. It doesn't even occur to us. Compassion for the self, what's that? Is that a song? Right. So, yeah, it's really interesting. And to get to that transcendent state of appreciation and not even blaming yourself, but understanding like, oh, that's not cute. I don't recommend it, but this is how we learn. Okay, so let's switch it up in terms of how we receive and incorporate the lessons, instead of running away from them really sinking in, So I'm grateful that I had to literally like escape from this guy. Listen, I'm not mad at him. He's brilliant, but clearly on the spectrum for autism and like shouldn't be dating anybody, but okay, that's his problem.
Okay.
And and the way that played out, like he really needs to get things healed for him and God bless. But I'm very, 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 very grateful. Because if I was just doing the same thing, just dealing with, you know, narcissists or trauma bonding with people too quick or letting myself disappear, abandoning myself because I've been abandoned my whole life, I'm not abandoning myself anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank all these lunatics for how they contributed to that.
There you go.
There you go. And then when you recognize that that's changed, it's really subtle. It's your own. It's almost like after the fact because you've been putting that into practice, but it's so subtle as it should be. If you don't think twice about being really hard on yourself or overcritical or overthinking things, you don't think twice about it, right? You're just doing it.
Right.
So it
right.
makes sense that it would work the same way when you're making the shift.
Mm.
Right? Everybody thinks like, oh, you have to be like this, you know, the skies are opening up and the angels are singing and there's unicorn and rainbows and all that stuff. It should be just as subtle as when we're beating ourselves up. Just as matter of fact in day to day. And then it catches you by a gentle surprise,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a gentle surprise. I'm like, oh, she's doing things different. And then you see how your life is being outpictured and your experience, and you're like, oh, snap. Okay. There really is nothing missing. I kind of felt that way before that there was like, you know, a hole in my auric field that needed to be patched externally. No, that is getting patched from the inside.
I love it.
Whatever happens, happens. Yep. Whatever happens, happens. Yeah. Yeah. I am not going to make lateral moves or waste my time. With not a lot of people, I had to really make up the difference for decades of arrested development because I was married for so long and I was so young. So, yeah, there's no reason to make another lateral move or to relearn the lesson because I'm really learning it, allowing the space within that solitude for this inner consciousness, and then you anchor onto that as opposed to anchoring onto overthinking and overanalyzing, and this is right, and I don't know, and then not making a move. All of a sudden, the path is revealed just to take intentional, small steps, but consistent steps. That becomes your practice. So it's fascinating. And then you see what comes in and you see how it all lines up and you see what comes in effortlessly or how your interactions around you adapt and align in kind with what you're doing because you're being kind with yourself.
In kind. I like
totally
it.
Totally new concept. In kind. In kind. Mhm. Mhm. It takes so little effort because it's an inside job, and you don't have to work so hard. So it's fascinating to take that step back. Emerges. So, yeah, right. It's. I find it really, really quite fascinating. And it just, I think it hit me this morning when I was meditating about that shift of internal regard and to lead with that as opposed to scrambling externally. And I'm like, wow, the way things have outpictured in my experience, there's almost like an elegance in a way of how I'm handling it, because I'm handling it internally and I'm giving myself the grace and the breath and the opportunity to check. I've never done this before in my life, to check in with myself internally before I make a move, blindly, impulsively rush to get to some imagined, you know, finish line. Because somebody else is waiting. No, no one's waiting. No one is waiting. Whether it's a work thing, a guy thing, a kid thing, you know, a collaborator thing. No. It's that connection, and that streamlines how everything reveals itself in your field of experience. When you check in with yourself, this is what's happening. A very healthy way to proceed in your perception.
Yeah.
So I think that's, it's exciting. And then it's not this patient of, well, what is this person going to think and how is that going to happen and how can I pull this off? You're not even, that doesn't even come into your mind because of the consistency. So with being the producer on the film and I'm dealing with all these heavy hitters, I have just been so diligent and so consistent and there's so much to attend to. I don't have time to like freak out or be anxious about it. And in that process to really check in and to understand that it's not a one-way street, that whoever is needs a deliverable from me, that it's about abandoning myself to just throw something at them. No, that's how mistakes happen. And that's me not trusting myself. Breathe through each task that needs to happen and to put my emotional needs first, yet being very organized and trusting and knowing that time is an illusion and that if I honor my needs as I take consistent action with what I need to do and to trust life, all is well. And to not be afraid. And I got some really tangible evidence of that. And it was upsetting in a way, but not in a way of being angry at anybody else, but I'm just so glad I made the decision to divorce my ex-husband. And not ask for anything, but just to make sure that I have this apartment. In a nutshell, there's like Social Security benefits that my son gets, but they were put in question because now he's 18 or whatever. And every week he gets an allowance, and my ex-husband would get that check. And then he would transfer it to my account, and his allowance and certain bills would be paid from that account. So it had to be reactivated. We had to submit a request for these benefits to continue because he's a matriculated student in high school, so he's entitled, whatever. So the steps were made to get that reinstated, and now a paper check will be mailed to my residence, and then he'll give it to his father, and I guess his father would put it into my account. I don't care about any of that, okay? So I bring it up. Ex-husband said, well, the check hasn't come from Social Security, so I am not going to deposit his allowance. He didn't say it to me. He said it to my son.
Wow.
And my son, this rocked my world. And my son comes to me the other day, and he's like, well, Dad said since the Social Security check didn't come, like, he's not going to put in your account for allowance. I said, I don't care about that. You come first. I will go to the ATM. You'll have your allowance before you go to school tomorrow. That's number one. The number two, my other son, who's an actor, and he does different shows and whatever. I'm like, oh, is your father going to go see your show coming up? And he's like, well, I don't know. He's weird because he always says, well, we'll see. I'm like, bitch, where you going? Because I know I'm 100 times busier than you. And I said, I'm going to your show. If he's not going, like, I'm going. Because I'll go to everything that he's in. I said, you come first. And instead of me feeling resentful, angry, whatever, I felt like, wow, I have done the right thing all along. I don't care where that money comes from. You come first. You're my child. I don't care if you're in my house and you're 40. You're my child. And I know, Marguerite, please feel free to slap my husband because his kids are alive. Please feel free. That was staggering. This man doesn't trust life. He has full Social Security because he's several years older than me. And he also saved a nice chunk of money for retirement. The divorce, I chose to walk away with nothing. If I wanted to be that bitch, I just wanted the apartment. If I wanted to be that bitch, I was entitled. We were married for more than 26 years. If I wanted, I would be entitled to half his retirement.
Wow.
I want it. But you in for allowance, is that his way of punishing me? Or you're so afraid of not having, and you have the money. But this what, does he travel? Does he do anything? Whatever. I trust life. And I trust that I will be taken care of. And that's why I'm glad about going within. Because I don't want to turn into that. Even if it's just for my kids. But in the big picture, this is for my greater consciousness. That's why we're here. Isn't that crazy?
Look at you.
It made me cry. It made me cry. Like, I had to go, I had to. You know, go to my mom cave, not let my kids know, because I didn't want to do that. I don't speak ill of their father. And I'm like, oh, my God, this man has not changed at all. I felt so relieved, like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, I'm so glad I walked away 6 years ago. Thank you, God, because my life is amazing. And I don't need a man in my life to make it amazing. Mic drop. And we don't need to overthink or do anything. We need to check in within. So we'll leave it there. Woo! So if any of you need to get a hold of us, you can send an email to loablend@gmail.com. And we are scheduled to be on the air this coming Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Please take excellent care of yourself and each other. And as always, but the light to the work and to brighter days ahead. Love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.